Good evening, everyone. This is Steve Nelson from BreakpointTrades.com, and this is the Tuesday evening, August 3rd market recap. I'm going to try to keep tonight's review brief. Not a lot changed. As expected, after yesterday's big move, a consolidation day is normal. Tonight, I'm going to go over a quick general market analysis. I'm going to point out a few indicators to keep an eye on in the coming days, and then finally some trade ideas, some new trade ideas, or an update on a couple of ones that I introduced a day or two previously. So let's begin by looking at what transpired today. I've got a brief market summary. As you can see, the market lost approximately 0.5% on the major indexes. Volume was light, which is a good sign when the market rests. Remember, yesterday we had a large up day. After yesterday's rally and ending the day overbought, it's really not surprising to see the market pull back some. From Monday's high at 1127 on the S&P to the low of 1117 is only 10 points. And that's well within the typical 10 to 15 pullbacks that we've seen during good rallies. So again, we may need to consolidate for another day or so after yesterday's big gains to build up energy. But please be prepared that for now the trend is to the upside. And as long as we remain above that gap support, I would favor another upside probing. Tomorrow, in terms of news items, we've got the ADP survey as well as ISM services. Swing traders, please be aware that we do have the unemployment data coming out on Friday morning. That's the headline news this week. Okay, enough said. Let's look at the brief general market charts tonight. The first chart is a daily look at all the indexes with their Bollinger Bands. As you can see, we remain above the 20-day moving average, up towards the upper Bollinger Band. Now, as we are consolidating here, we have to be cognizant that the upper Bollinger Band is likely to provide some resistance. As you can see previously, the market can trend up, but it typically trends up as the upper Bollinger Band does move up. So for now, the upper Bollinger Bands on all the indexes are something to make note of. And especially on a closing basis, that's something to keep an eye on. Only a very powerful move will turn those up dramatically. So, again, we don't have a lot of room upside here above the Bollinger Bands. That certainly doesn't mean we can't go and above the upper Bollinger Band for a period of time. But normally, it's going to hold it and pull it back within that upper Bollinger Band in due time, as you can see previously. So something to keep an eye on going forward. In terms of the pattern we're seeing on the S&P, nothing's changed since I discussed things over the weekend. We've got this rising wedge type pattern in place. Now that can be negated by a strong, powerful move to the upside, breaking above, let's say, the 1152 area. From a Elliott wave perspective, 1152 would negate the rising wedge, as wave 5 would be larger than wave 3. But for now, we've got to keep this in the back of our mind. The positive note, we're still seeing the MACD and the RSI trend upward, but this advance has been on weak volume. Yesterday's gap, while a strong move away, may be considered an exhaustion gap versus a breakaway gap due to the lack of volume. So for now, we're going to take it one day at a time. We're going to continue to trade our plays on the watch list. Whatever triggers with decent volume, we'll play. If it only gives us a one-day trade, so be it. For now, we're going to favor long side entries as the minor trend remains to the upside, and you'll see that in the trade setups below. Chart 5, this is a chart I put together for Matt. He showed it again last night. As you can see, we've got a little wedge-type pattern here in place, and that's going to be shown clearly below. There are various counts here. The main thing that I want to focus in on is this. This is either, in terms of a wedge, a leading diagonal or ending diagonal. Under either of those circumstances, once this is complete, we should have a pretty good pullback retracement. If it's an ending diagonal, we can not only retrace we can start a reversal, a downtrend. The alternative would be that this rising wedge is broken decisively to the upside and it morphs into a rising channel. So again, the market has to show its hand. For now, the wedge pattern remains in place, but that certainly does not negate another push up and even a break slightly above the wedge, only to have a false break and a reversal down. One thing you can see on the 60-minute charts is some negative divergence forming on our momentum indicators. If you look at the MACD and the RSI, they have made lower lows in conjunction with the recent two highs. So that's something that also serves to give credence to the wedge. That doesn't mean that this pattern is complete and we can't get another push up, but for now, that serves to support the rising wedge pattern that's in place. In fact, it would be better for another push up, false break, and a reversal back down in terms of the ending diagonal or leading diagonal wedge before completing. Again, under all circumstances, we have to respect a decisive move to the downside, breaking our trend line and breaking back into Monday's gap. In terms of some other things to consider, let's move on to chart 6. One thing I pointed out, and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, every rebound since April 26 has lasted between 5 and 9 trading days. The majority of them have lasted 8, 9 trading days. But if we were to assume that this remains intact, we've only had 2 trading days up so far, so that would carry us to Friday's unemployment data, the 6th. By the way, the number 6 also happens to be a GAN number that's marked a lot of turning points. Just a side note, again, what I focus in on is the price pattern that I'm seeing in place. I do keep an eye on time symmetry, especially when it's been effective, and this is an example of utilizing symmetry in terms of time in conjunction with a pattern, and just something to be aware of. Should we pull back into the 6th? Perhaps that marks a low as well. So for now, we'll keep this in the back of our minds. Our focus is going to be on price action, the pattern that's developing, to see if this wedge is negated or if it is fulfilled eventually to the downside. In terms of other things that I want to point out, let's move on to my comments on number 7. I talked about on the weekend some of the things to watch, and one thing I talked about was intermarket divergence. And yesterday we saw the small caps, especially the Russell 2000, but also the NASDAQ, lag the blue chips, the S&P and Dow. Today was more of the same. While the Dow and the S&P held their lows from yesterday, the NAS and Russell took out their lows. In the very short term, this is not a huge concern. Don't want to overanalyze the market day to day. But if this persists, this intermarket divergence, this will likely drag the markets downward. So something to keep an eye on, and I'm going to illustrate that below. Those bearish rising wedges are still in place, so if the small caps cannot improve and the market cannot decisively break to the upside, as I talked about above, then we have to be prepared for a reversal. And keep this in mind, even if the S&P in this pops up in this fifth wave, when you're trading any long side ideas, we could pop up out of the wedge and have a quick reversal. So it's fine to play these long side ideas. Be cognizant of where we may be on the roadmap when trading. That's the thing to use market analysis for, is where are we potentially in the roadmap, and am I at risk buying all these long side breakouts, and thus do I have to keep my stops tight? If we're coming off a bottom or in the beginning of a wave 3, you can certainly be more patient. If we have the potential of a rising wedge, wave 5 in place, then we've got to respect that and be a little cautious. So keep that in mind when trading, but don't hesitate to take some good breakouts. GSI was a beautiful one today. There certainly wasn't many, but GSI was a beauty. And I hopped on that early in the morning. I presented that chart on the blog yesterday, and I'm sure Matt showed that as a setup last night. Okay, in terms of the divergences, intermarket divergences, chart 8 shows this. First and foremost, you can see that the NASDAQ has not made a higher high like the SPY and the Dow Jones below. Neither has the Russell or the QQQs. Most notably, what's been dragging and weighing on the composite is the SOX, the semis. On this recent bounce, the SOX has lagged. They sold off sharper and have rallied weaker. That is evident in chart 9. As you can see, the SMH, it is weaker. You can see some distribution taking place with the volume candlesticks. And this is barely perched above its 50-day moving average. It's below its 20-day moving average and just above its 200-day moving average. So what we need to see for this trend to continue is money begin to flow into the technology area, perhaps coming out of the commodity area, to extend this rally for a significant period of time, or new money to move into this area. So if there is a red flag in this advance that I'm watching closely, it's some of the action in the small caps and in particular the semis. Just something to keep an eye on, nothing that negates this uptrend as of today's close. And then finally, charts 10, 11, and 12 show the wedges that are in place on the various indexes. And these are 30-minute charts. As you can see here, you can see that the Russell and the NASDAQ did not make new recovery highs here, or recent highs above their late July highs like the S&P and Dow did. So a little intermarket divergence there. It may be cured. Maybe the small caps are going to play catch-up. So again, we don't want to put too much emphasis on day-to-day activity, but it's something that we're going to focus on going forward. What else are we going to focus on? We're going to focus on these three items: the VIX, the dollar, and copper. So the VIX, as you can see, has been trending downward. It now is down at its lower Bollinger Band. So remember, a move below the lower Bollinger Band and then a subsequent move up is a short-term warning with respect to the S&P. So that's something to be aware of. For now, it remains in a downtrend. We'll keep an eye on that. The dollar, as you know, has been in a steep pullback downtrend after hitting its highs back in early June. While there is some divergence building on the histogram, there is absolutely none on the regular MACD or our other indicators. The dollar is moving towards oversold, and clearly the sentiment on the dollar has changed. Just so your information, sentiment, and this is from TradeFutures.com, was 98% bulls back at the high around 88. It is now 7%. 7% bulls. By the way, it was 7% bulls when it bottomed back in December. So sentiment by itself is not a buy or sell signal. It's just something to keep track of. And when too many people get on one side of the boat, that's when the trend tends to change. But for now, there's no technical indication at this stage that the dollar is ready to reverse. But should it get some type of reversal, that's likely to have an impact on the marketplace, and that's something we'll be watching. It, too, would likely have an impact on copper. And as you know, copper has been leading this advance, and this is something we're going to keep an eye on as well. Copper has been moving synonymously with the market, leading the market, and for now it remains in an uptrend. We'll keep our eye on that, and especially if you're trading any type of commodity-related stocks dealing with copper. And then finally, I've got a series of trade ideas below. Let me comment on a couple of these. STEC, which I showed on the blog the other night, and I don't know if it was shown by Matt last night, but I had a little set up at 16. Now, this company reported after hours. We don't play and we don't recommend guessing on earnings. But in after hours, it was trading up. Their results were viewed positively by the street. So as long as it doesn't run away too hard and too fast, there is a potential for people who want to play a little momentum plays, and you can look at your gap indicator. If it breaks above 1635, holds in here, the pattern's pretty bullish, and if it holds, it may gap up, and then it's got to move above 1635. There's very little resistance, and it's got a gap to fill, as you can see, up around that 18 area. So this may be something to watch for those who can trade intraday and follow the market closely. Otherwise, it's probably something you should pass on as it has gapped up in response to earnings. In terms of regular new setups, here's a couple of VIPs building a nice base. It's formed a cup. It may chop around here, and it would be better if it chopped around for a day or two, at least, and formed a handle before breaking out. If it were to break out immediately, I'd view it as a shorter-term trade unless it's really taking an increase in volume. But a nice little setup there on VIP. INCY, which I mentioned, has a nice clean level around 1350. A good volume expansion breaking through there would make sense. MEE, commodity coal play, has a nice little trend line here. Somewhere around the 32.5 area, 32.5, 32.25, especially on an increasing percentage volume. Looks like it could offer an upside trade. Walmart, I don't know how excellent of a setup this is, but I'm also showing this as a proxy for the market and the Dow. I think they're scheduled to report in the coming week or two, so keep an eye on that as well. But here is something that we can use as a proxy for the Dow and market. It's trying to form some type of little bottoming pattern as well. And then finally, OMN looks like a high-level consolidation pattern. Pretty strong stock up near its highs. This may offer a trade opportunity. The exact level's unclear. I wouldn't wait for 1870. I'd look to take this around the high 1830s, 1840s, if it was taking volume with an appropriate stop in place. So there's a couple of trade ideas. Most of the trade ideas have to be on the long side until we see some type of signs of reversal. We don't try to pick tops. That's dangerous to our wealth. Take care, have a great evening, and we'll see you in the blog tomorrow.